survive, thrive, stay alive. It's time to get prepared with the Prepping Academy podcast.
Welcome to the Prepping Academy. I am Forrest. Tenderfoot again is disappeared. He is not here this evening. He has other duties. Tenderfoot is branching out on his own, but we're still going to do podcasts together. So don't fear. He is not buried in my backyard. I know that's been asked several times. That is not the case at all. So tonight we have some special guests. We have Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher. I'm interviewing two people at once, so this is going to be kind of interesting, and we're going to find out why I'm interviewing both at the same time. And it's going to be, want you to know as well, Glenn and Shelby are both on my, expert panel for PrepperNet. And, so they're going to be, helping us as we get that running as well. But I think I have both of them on the line. Glenn, Shelby, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hello, all how right. Are you, Forrest?
Doing great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on. And kind of last minute, because I just sent you guys a text, I don't know, mid last week, and said, hey, you want to be on the show? And, of course, you guys said, sure. And I mean, that's awesome. So I appreciate you guys coming on. A lot of you guys will know Glenn for his book series, 299 Days. If you remember when I first started prepping, all those of my, you know, that are friends, and anytime I go and I speak, I always tell people that, you know, a lot of people will read Bill Fortune's book, but I read the 10, the 299 Days. That was my first series I ever really read. And it's kind of really got me, I learned so much and got me motivated. But then we got Shelby, and she's written a series, or in the process of a series, called A Great State. The first book was the Divide, and then The Aftermath. So I'm going to, ladies first, if you don't mind, Glenn.
Not at all. That's how I do it. I'm a gentleman. I'm a Yankee, but a gentleman.
Yeah, even though I started with your book, let's go to Shelby. Shelby, you have released two books now, but if you don't mind, kind of tell us about Shelby and how you got writing, and then how these this trilogy that you're writing, you know, came about.
Oh, very good. Glad to fill in the gap there. I came to prepping from a very different angle. Well, I don't think it's completely different, but maybe unorthodox. I started at it from the point of view of couponing. And if you've ever watched those strange shows that you don't see anymore because the couponing world is completely different now, but several years ago you used to see those couponing shows where people would go into a store and get like $1,000 worth of groceries,
yep,
for like a dollar. And
yep,
one of the premises to that whole movement and that whole idea is to stockpile. Buy those things when they're super, uber, crazy on sale, when they're off season, when they're on clearance, and especially if they're if they don't go bad, keep them and stockpile them and then use them when you do need them. And so I started from that point of view, trying to save money in the household budget, trying to make it so that, you know, I'm not spending full price on everything. And so you end up stockpiling. And it was from there that I realized how easily stockpiling, especially non-perishable items, really it's prepping, it's preparing. And those two worlds meet really well. And also I think the whole the message of prepping, being ready for a collapse, is so needed and to be taught, to be shown to the whole world of single moms. They're already coming at the whole, at life in general, just from the whole how can I save a buck, but also how to be prepared so that during a collapse, as we know from seeing worldwide collapses around us, women and children are generally very victimized and very the first of many human tragedies. So that's kind of where I came at it. What caused me to start writing was that at the time I lived in Portland, Oregon, and we remember back to the 2016 elections, just within a few days after the election, there were some pretty violent riots in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
yep.
crazy to watch. Friday afternoon, major rush hour traffic, and the police stopped traffic on a major interstate to allow rioters to take over the interstate. It was insane. And I remember thinking, okay, I have firearms and I'm ready to protect myself, but at what point do I bug out? And the problem was with that whole line of thinking, and if you've read my books, you know the bug out location is a family cabin in Colorado. And that family cabin is based on a true cabin, but right before those elections, that family cabin was sold. So if you are a prepper and you've prepared in your mind where you're going to go to a bug out location and it's sold, you feel like the carpet just got ripped out from underneath you. And then to sit there and think, of all the times that I need my bug out location, this could be it. And I'm a little, you know, it sent up all my red flares. And I started,
right.
And that's what kind of got the creative juices going. What would happen if I had to bug out? And my main character, Julie, she does. And that was the creative spark that got me kind of going through a fictionalized story. What would it be like to bug out of a place like this where you have unfettered riots and where police don't, you know, enforce law upon lawlessness? So, yeah, that's what got me started. There's your long story. I hope that wasn't too long.
No, not at all. And it's funny that you came in through couponing. Because my wife, she wasn't extreme at all, but I remember having, I won't say hundreds of boxes of toothpaste, but toothpaste must be like the easiest thing for coupons, because
mm-hmm.
at one time we probably had 30, 40, 50 boxes of toothpaste because of coupons.
Yep.
So I think we probably still have it. I don't know if it expires or not, but
it doesn't expire. And yes, when it goes on sale, and you look at the regular price of a tube of toothpaste is like $3 to $4, and if you can get it for 50 cents, yeah, you should have 30 tubes. It's a good thing, right?
Yep. And so I do. So she was a prepper, didn't even know it at the time.
Good.
So yes, and also your books are written kind of with a different slant, am I correct, from a female/single mom, is that correct?
That is correct, and that's really, that's the audience that I relate to a lot with, and I feel like when I watch what happens in other countries with collapse, when I watch what happens in Puerto Rico or Venezuela, and I see women having to sell themselves and or their children, sadly, into human trafficking or prostitution just to feed themselves.
Right.
That's tragic, and they become a
mm-hmm.
victim of the collapse. And here in the United States, over 50% of children are born to single parents, and then they are marketed to, and they're talked into, and they're easily enticed into a subsidized world of government, you know, food stamps and that sort of thing. If we have an economic collapse, those women and children will be the first to be victimized and the first to feel the brunt of it.
So let me ask you, because it is kind of interesting now that I'm thinking about it. I don't know too many females that are actually the main character of any of these books. You know, I know Mark Goodwin just did one, Ava, where, she, you know, it's a female, but mm-hmm. I've read a lot of books in this genre, and I don't remember too many where the actual main character is a single mom, you know, with kids. I just mm-hmm. this may be the first, and that's needed, because you go to my to PrepperNet meetings we have, and there's a lot of single moms and a lot of
yeah.
you know, single women that show up, and they understand that they've got to take care of their family, and they've got
yeah.
to, you know, what we say is, you know, also get in a group of some type. So yeah, that's I bet you're hitting home with a lot of women with this book.
I think I am, and I hope I get. I tried to talk to as many of them as I can. I think there is a lot of relatability there. What's really, if people want to see it, if you go to Amazon and look at some of the reviews, or to Audible and some of the reviews, you will hear that becomes a common thread. So nice to hear from a women's point of view. So they can relate. And also men are also putting in there that they appreciate that women's point of view because the woman in their life can relate. And that was kind of my frustration, what you just said a little bit with this genre, is that I don't relate to men out there doing the tactical stuff and you know, putting together a group and going up and doing the guy thing. I relate to, you know, I got kids and I'm the only one here to protect them. So I think it is a much needed just breath of fresh air in the genre.
Yeah, you know, we do have a lady that's married in our group that totally relates to the tactical. I mean, I don't want to box, you know, people in. I know you don't either, but we kind of, in our particular, my particular survival group, we kind of let people go where they want to go. And so,
yeah.
You know, a lot of the ladies, they want to learn the tactical stuff because they know, well, some of them know that was their weak side. And then,
yep.
You know, and then like me, you know, I tell people I can't grow anything. And that's because I have so many people in my group that can grow everything. And so I kind of focus on other areas, but we have, you know, we have a guy that cooks in our group, and so we mix it up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't try.
Absolutely.
Only the world stereotypes people and puts them in a box, and you just got to stay out of that, especially when you are going to, you know, trust your life to some people.
Oh yeah, well, absolutely. I will say this, and if this helps at all, I actually ask Glenn. I tend more to the tactical side than I do to the you know, permaculture side. But we all need to cover all of our weak spots. Oh, yeah, I love shooting a gun.
Yeah, I saw you shooting in the proper stance with a starfish over your head. I saw that. So, Glenn, last but not least,
yes, sir.
You wrote in it, I mean, I love your story, and I hope you tell it about how you just kind of wrote these books. And you, if I remember, you weren't even going to publish them. You just kind of wrote them because you enjoyed writing them, and it kind of, yeah, I guess it helped you kind of get into the prepping movement a little bit. Tell us about that, because I've heard that many times, and our listeners may have as well, but it's a great story.
You bet. I'd love to. And if you don't mind, I'd like to add something about Shelby's story before I talk about myself that she's too
absolutely
modest to admit. But it's the connection. You were talking about getting books published, the connection between me and her. So she sent me this manuscript before she knew me very well, and said, I'm writing this thing, and I understand you wrote this book, and it's probably awful, so could you go ahead and read it? And I get this quite often from people, and quite often they're not real good manuscripts. I mean, I'm sorry to say, and I read this, and I said, oh my goodness, and I remember I got to chapter 3, which is a very powerful and gripping chapter. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. And I texted her, and I said, I'm walking around my house right now. And she said, okay. She probably thought I was a weirdo. And I said, I'm trying to decide which hammer to use. And she thought probably, okay, it's some, you know, home repair project. Don't know why you're bothering me with this, but whatever, I'll play along. And I said, I'm looking for a hammer. I need to decide which one to use to cave that guy's face in the chapter 3. That's how powerful that affected me. And I thought to myself, if she can move me to do something rather dramatic, I bet this would be some good writing, and other people could get something from it. And then we went from there, and she got the book published, and then we got married. So anyway, there's that. But
there's that. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, the manuscript leads to a marriage. Unusual, but it did happen. But anyway, back to my story about this. I'm a regular guy. I never been in the military, law enforcement. I was a suburban lawyer. Now Shelby and I live in a rural part of Washington State, and are very, very happy to be here. But I was just this regular guy, and I'd never written fiction before. I do some writing for law stuff, but legal writing is an entirely different style of writing. And I just felt called to keep writing and writing. It starts off with the Easter Bunny story, which is not actually in the book, but I prepped, and my ex-wife was very unenthused about that, and I realized I needed to have an explanation for her when some big event happened, and all of a sudden all the food and ammunition that I'd been storing elsewhere just showed up in our garage. I kind of had to have a, you know, explanation for that. And what I came up with was the Easter Bunny story. And in order to allow her to save face, I just came up with the Easter Bunny story, which was going to be, honey, the Easter Bunny dropped this stuff off, and here's how we're going to use it, and here's why the Easter Bunny went to all this trouble and did all this. And I realized the Easter Bunny story was the perfect explanation of why to prep and how to prep and what to do with your prep. So this was a pretty important speech I was about to give. I'm a litigator. I present information, so I got a Post-it note out. I love Post-it notes, and did a few bullet points about the Easter Bunny stories. You know, when I was going to give her this speech, I wanted it to go well because it's kind of a crossroads in a relationship, really.
Right.
And so pardon me just a moment. I started doing the bullet points on the Easter Bunny story. Again, it wasn't a story in a book. It was a presentation to my then wife. And it started getting longer and longer, and then it became a page, and then it became a couple pages. And I looked at this rationale for prepping, and I said, well, there's a lot of good information in here. Maybe somebody out there could use it. And I've never written fiction, but I'll go ahead and write up a little chapter and put it up on a forum and see if anybody likes it. By the way, I was so uninformed about how fiction writing works, and I had to go to a fiction book that was on the bookshelf and see if the commas go inside or outside the quote marks in fiction. I know how they go in legal writing, but I mean, I had no background in fiction writing, which as it turns out was an enormous strength in all of this, because 299 Days does not read like any other book you'll ever read. I think you can attest to that. I didn't try to copy anything, you know, that kind of novel template thing. Didn't even try. I just started telling a story about me and a reluctant spouse prepper, and I lived in Olympia, Washington, extremely liberal place, government town. It's a state capital. My job was, as I describe it, a front row seat to government corruption. And I started describing what I was seeing, and it just kept going and going. And then I had met, again, I believe through God's intervention, all these amazing, amazing people in my life. And I started describing them and connecting them in the story, and it became this amazing story. I couldn't quit writing. It was weird, actually. I would get up at 3 in the morning. My record was 1:15 in the morning. I would get up and write and write and write. And I wrote for 2.5 years. By the way, didn't have a publisher. Just thought I'd write 4,000 pages and then maybe see if I could get a publisher. But I was writing just to put all this down, and because I felt like it was what I was supposed to do to get a message out about preparing, and also a message out about not just, you know, I don't know, being more violent than you need to be in a collapse, you know, showing mercy and all that, but not too much mercy. Anyway, I wrote it, and then the first publisher I sent it to offered me a 10-book deal, which was beyond surprising. And so that's the whole story about how this came about. It's funny, when people ask me what I do, I almost never think to answer author, because, I mean, it's hard to describe. It was just this thing I did, and it's very, very popular, and a lot of people have been, you mentioned you learned from it and were motivated. A lot of people have learned and been motivated by the books, and that makes me happy when I hear from them, send me emails and Facebook personal messages, and it's really heartwarming. It never gets old to hear how the books either got somebody prepping or reinvigorated their prepping.
Well, I do hope it was painful at times for you to write that. I mean, seriously, painful, because you know what? When I finished one book, it was so painful for me to wait for the next one or get the audio book. I remember I listened to like 3 books within 1 week. I couldn't stop. And then you would always leave it. I mean, could you not leave it at like a good breaking point? No. You leave it at a point where I got to know what's going on. And I remember it was a pleasure to read, but I hope it was painful to you, because it was when I was buying it, I was waiting on Amazon, and 2 days is a lot, forever sometimes when you want to know what's going on. And I remember I couldn't find book like 8, 9, and 10 on audio or something, and it was driving me nuts. And I think, because were they all released at once on Audible? I can't remember.
No, they were rolled out two books
yeah.
at a time because it was such an enormous task to do yeah. the audiobooks. Had the best narrator in the world, I'm convinced, Kevin Pierce. He does New York
Oh,
Times
he's awesome,
best, so
yeah.
He's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah,
very,
I've
very
met him,
man.
Actually. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you met?
And so,
I mean, he was at Heritage Life Skills, I believe. He showed up there, and it was pretty awesome. He had a bunch of authors that were there, but it was painful. I'm telling you. And reading it and then listening to it, it was amazing.
Well, you mentioned painful. I think I interpreted that a different way than you were describing, but there's some heart-wrenching stuff there. When my character, who's really me, by the way, book one is about 97% accurate real life, having to bug out and, you know, my wife wouldn't leave because she didn't understand what was going on and thought it was all kooky and crazy and was scared
right.
and didn't want to admit, I mean, all those kinds of things. Forrest, that's some really powerful, painful, heart-wrenching stuff to write. I didn't think anyone would ever read these books, and that's why they're written so honestly. You know, if I would have known that they would have been published, I would have, I don't know, sugar-coated stuff, I guess, but then they wouldn't have been any good because it's the reality that makes them. Nobody writes about these kinds of things. But I have a theory. Yes, nobody writes about these, but here's the thing. A lot of folks out there, probably a lot of listeners right now, a lot of PrepperNet members, I'm sure, have situations like this where their spouse is either not on board or is only mildly on board or is sometimes outright hostile. And that was an aspect of prepping that was not being talked about. It was always, oh, I'm the boss of my house and I'm a real tough guy
right.
and everything. And that ain't me.
Yeah.
And it was the first, I think, book series that was real on that very important issue.
So did your then wife actually read your books? Because if she did, at what point did the light bulb go off going, wait a second, you're going to kidnap me?
No, I'm going to have my 6-foot Korean gunfighter
oh, yeah, that's right.
insurance do it. But yes, which yeah. is really in the book, by the way. I didn't make that up. She only read, she says, a chapter. And she said
okay.
it was too painful. And
oh.
So
she so got never got to the kidnapping part, yeah.
Knew, I don't know what chapter it was, and I'm very disappointed that she wouldn't engage in a conversation with me about this whole thing. She didn't read in the later books where her character ends up, you know, redeeming herself in many ways. So, yeah, that's one of the heart-wrenching, painful things about this whole thing. 4,000 pages essentially about her, and she wouldn't even read it. And I'm getting choked
now,
up saying that.
If Shelby writes her next book, in book three, if she writes about getting married and then having to, you know, dispatch her husband, I would be concerned.
You're giving me some great ideas for us. That means it's not completely done yet. There's opportunities for rewrites. So, yeah, let's keep the creative juices going here, right?
Yeah.
Thanks,
so,
Forrest.
You
thanks
just,
a lot.
Yeah. So I would be concerned. So The Aftermath was just published, and you're writing a third for the trilogy. Is that correct, Shelby?
That is correct. The third and what you just said about just painfully waiting for those next in the series, I hear it, and I hear it from my readers and my fans, and I hear it from those who want all the audit. And here's the other thing. Let me just throw this out there. Book two was supposed to be out on Audible around Thanksgiving, and it is not. And I'm reminded of that every day to all my great fans on social media in particular. You know, God bless her, my narrator, great gal, she captures the voice of the main character, Julie, so well. She has been struggling with illness since about October. She's seen the doctor several times. She's on all kinds of antibiotics. So, and that if there's one thing you need your reader to sound
right.
not
yep.
sick. So that's
yep.
been delayed. So just to throw it out there, yes, the third book is I'm doing final edits and kind of tightening up of the story over the holidays. And her job is to finish the Audible before November. That's not going to happen, I realize. But, yeah.
Well, you know, Mark Goodwin, he writes trilogy, I mean, all these books. And finally I got to the point where I would wait until he finished them all, and then I would read them in like 2 weeks.
And people
just,
tell me
just
they do
so
that.
I wouldn't
I
have
know.
To wait.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So then the next question, I guess we learn a little bit. You guys met through a manuscript, but if you don't mind, what more can you share? I mean, did y'all meet at a book show? It's a true love story, it sounds like. I mean, someone should write that book.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I started working on the book, and I didn't do much. I mean, we would talk about the book, and we would meet. She was in Portland at the time, and I was in Olympia, and I would go down to Portland, and we would, you know, have coffee, and she called it meeting with her literary agent, which was funny. And so we would talk about these things and got to know each other. She was and is a prepper and all of that. And then it just kind of went from there. I don't know how else to say it. It just grew, and we were respectful of our then spouses, and we kept things appropriate. I think that's an important thing to note. I'm getting into personal stuff, but it is an important thing to note. And we honored ourselves and God that way, and went forward. And when the time was right, got together. I picked up and moved to a rural part of the state, and she picked up and moved to, you know, another state, and then I was here. So it was a huge life change. Absolutely, I don't know how much more of a life change you could have, really. And
right,
it's been working just remarkably well. It's just fantastic.
Well, I remember I was listening to the podcast, JJS's podcast on his Redoubt, American Redoubt, and he made the announcement. And you know what? And it didn't really surprise me at that point.
Yeah.
I don't know why, because y'all were traveling together at that point a lot, and so didn't really surprise me. So, question to you, Glenn. So you wrote 299 Days, and I've read that twice. What's next for you in that? I mean, are you going to? I mean, I'm waiting for the next. I'm waiting for day 300.
Yeah. Well, as far as more books go, I don't know that I'm going to do more 299 Days books. You know, it's possible. I want to be inspired. I was so inspired. I describe it as I'm the guy at the keyboard and God is writing the story. I mean, and I want it to be like that. I don't want this to be, you know, the spinoff shows. I mean, we all remember, you know, Happy Days, and then there was Joni Loves Chachi, which was terrible. I don't want another 299 Days book to be Joni Loves Chachi.
Right.
And so there's that. But I would love to do more. Far down in the future, there's going to be 399 Days. That's been put on hold a bit, and that is a book that is being written by Derek Grant, and then it takes place in the same time frame, but it takes place in the state of Maine. And I'm helping with that with story development and editing and everything. He's been really, really busy and probably won't finish it for some time, so don't be looking for 399 Days. You know, that's an important point in all of this. Applies to you, I know, and to Shelby and to me. We all have day jobs. We're out,
right,
you know, taking care of our families and doing all that other stuff. And so if we could, we would just sit down and write a bunch of these things, and it's not that way. So Shelby and I have talked about it, and I'm sure we'll do a nonfiction book on the food element of preps. And it'll be everything from picking what foods to store, sort of from the nutritional standpoint, how to store foods, and not just Mylar and stuff, but storage space, and then some cooking stuff, and then alternate energy sources for cooking, and then the layering concept that we just put a word to it. Everybody else has that concept, and that's where you have different kinds of food. You have some MREs for quick stuff, and then you have some grains that maybe you spend more time and cook, and you have things in between. You have canned and all those other things. So that's a goal. But we've really focused the past few months on some other things, like a podcast that we may or may not talk about here in a while. But I don't know of any writing that I'm going to do. Now, the caveat to all that, and I am a lawyer, so I have to say stuff like that, and that is I don't know when I'm going to get inspired. I could be sitting at a stoplight, and all of a sudden, and this used to happen with the other books, I would be driving down the road or at a stoplight, and it's hard to describe. It's not visual, but in my head, I say I could see it, but it's not really visual. There would be entire outlines would just be projected into my head, and I would write furiously on little scraps of paper. I have 2 or 3 1-gallon Ziploc bags of little scraps of paper that I took notes when I was writing this thing. They're pretty amazing to go back and look at. So I don't know is the answer, but I do a little bit of discussion with Shelby about her storyline. The cool thing is working with her on her stories, and again, she writes them. I'm not taking credit for it. I get to have the fun of like character development and saying, ooh, what if, and what if this happened, and then I don't have to do any of the work, like writing the books.
Like having grandkids, right?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So there you go. So, yeah.
Yeah. So you're sitting back going, hey, I wrote 10. You're on book 2.
Yeah.
Nope. I don't do that.
Well,
don't
if
do
I can
that?
Jump here. No, he doesn't. He does not do that. But if I can jump in and say, be encouraged for those who are listening, like, oh, no, Glenn Tate's not writing anymore. It doesn't sound like it. He gets his inspired moments. There is a book that he got his brain wrapped around here a few months ago and was thinking it. We were thinking about ways he could get this out and going. So be encouraged. He gets inspired. He also gets very
good.
Busy. And I think I think he's downplaying it, but jobs and life and kids and just normal things that overtake us and overwhelm us sometimes. You have to balance all that in all of this. And so, yeah, just have hope. There could be inspiration.
And here it is. I can't believe I didn't think of this. Sorry to interrupt you, Forrest. There's going to be in Shelby's book 3 a crossover chapter where
mm-hmm.
Shelby's characters go to Pierce Point
and
interact with Grant. Could be 2 chapters. I don't know. We haven't sat down and we haven't written those chapters yet. And so there's going to be a few more chapters of the 299 Days World that will be coming out in her book. And the cool thing is the storyline in her book fits perfectly with an intersection with Pierce Point and 299 Days. So it's not going to be forced. It's not going to be Fonzie jumping the shark, going back to the Happy Days analogy. So it's not going to be anything forced or weird. And so I'm excited about that. It'll be really good to get back into the voice of Grant Mattson, which is really me, so it's not hard to do.
You know, because you, my preps has a quite substantial amount of pancakes now.
Yeah. I get that a lot.
Yeah, so that is the truth. I'm like, wow, you can do pancakes? Wait, how do I do this? And so now I have powdered honey. So
nice.
Yeah, maybe go on my pancakes. So you guys, let's see, you've moved within the last year. You've got married, and you're starting a new podcast. What more can you do? But you guys have a new podcast. I think you just completed show number 6, correct?
Show number 6
on guns.
Yes, our favorite topic. That's what's up on our website, prepping2-0.com. We have 2 more that are in production, which is great. So, yeah, there's several times in the last, I'd say, month or two where we've sat down and I'm like, okay, no more starting up anything. I stop. No more great ideas. They need to stop. I've got to get book 3 out the door. You know what I mean? So we have a lot of fun. So yeah, the podcast has been going now for a while. And in Glenn and Shelby world is what, 3-4 weeks, you know? a lot of new fun things. Go ahead.
Prepping 2.0. Explain the 2.0 if you don't mind.
Yeah, happy to. And this was the thing that we came up with. We realized there are a lot of great prepping podcasts out there. I mean, we're on one of them, right? But a lot of the prepping podcasts out there are for beginners, which is good, and you should listen to them out there if you're listening to this and all of that. And I use the example of there probably be a prepping podcast on, say, how to treat water with bleach. And that's good information, and you should know that. But Shelby and I thought, well, you know what? There's an intermediate level to all of this because she and I are similar. And by the way, I'm sure just about everybody listening is similar to this. We started out 2008, 2009. Oh, my goodness. A socialist has been elected president and scary, crazy things were happening in the economy. And former President Obama was talking about a domestic, you know, security force and all these crazy, horrible things. And it was a scary, scary time. And we all started prepping, and we all did the water treatment stuff, and we did the beans, and we did the rice, and all of that's good, and you're never going to hear me dissuade anybody from doing all that stuff. But that was prepping 1.0. And in 2008 and 2009, there was a level of technology that was out there, and there was, you know, there were products that were out there. Well, fast forward to 2018, and there are new products, there are better ways of doing things. And here's the thing, Shelby and I learned a lot in the past 10 years. We learned better ways of doing things, and it just seemed like we were hitting the refresh button on prepping. It wasn't 2008 or 9 anymore, and it was that intermediate level. And it's okay, you've got your beans and your rice, and you've got an AR-15, all of which is good. Well, how are you going to talk to people in your neighborhood to see if that motorcycle gang is coming through? And how are you going to, you know, do enough water filtration, not just, you know, a liter a day, but how are you going to do it enough for washing clothes? And you can see that next step. And so we thought we would talk about prepping 2.0 in that sense, which is the intermediate level, the new technology, the new 2018 world that we live in. And it has been extremely well received, because I don't know of another podcast that is specifically going out and talking about this intermediate level. So that's what the 2.0 is all about.
That's awesome. Yeah, I tell everybody my podcast is mediocre, by the way. You just kind of, you put me in another category, and, you know, that's too much pressure. But, yeah, 2.0. So I started prepping in Y2K. I'm a Y2K baby. And you are right, because I go to this one event every year, and the classes, every class there is like an intro, and it kind of really drives me nuts. I teach at it as well, but, you know, there needs to be that class, that intro camp. But, you know, people that usually come to my meetups, you know, they're, I would say it's split. There, you got the people that have been doing this forever, and you got the newbies. But yeah, it is time for us to take our game up and start learning more advanced techniques and things to do. Like one of the things that I consider advanced, I was saying this to a friend, is I'm not sure I know how to cure meat or smoke meat and would trust my life to eat it. And he said to me, yeah, that's an advanced skill. And I thought, oh, that's a 2.0 skill, because you don't learn that as a newbie. So yeah, I agree with you. That's pretty awesome. So you guys do a podcast. So tell me about it, and tell me what kind of topics you guys have, and yeah.
I'm glad you asked that. So how this kind of got pushed along, and I want to tell people the story, is that we'd have these great ideas, and we started this list. That's a great podcast idea. That's a great podcast. That's a 2.0. That's a prepping. We have a list. I kid you not. It's probably a couple hundred ideas on it for podcasts. So every week we're like, okay, what are we going to record on? Let's whip out the list. And it ranges from all kinds of things, from very practical. And you brought up one, the most recent one is on guns and kind of the evolution of gun ownership, and what we consider to be that four basic firearms that you should have, and that you should have to be prepped, but certainly don't stop there, because we never want to have to say that we don't have enough guns. But and talk about how you come to the decision and that sort of a thing. And then also too, then there's all these things like we were talking about in a recent podcast that I don't think that's produced yet, is water purification. I come from water purification from backpacking in the Rocky Mountains, where all you had was potable water tablets, which are nasty. And
right.
That's why you take Kool-Aid with you everywhere you go, because you need something to offset that nasty taste. And now we have, and then for a long time it was just kind of Berkey, which is great. Don't underestimate those. But now we have all these other great things. We have the whole line of LifeStraw products and all these great things that have increased in technology and lessened in price just in the last 4 or 5 years. We were talking about it a few months ago. Oh, wouldn't it be nice to have a food dehydrator? Oh, yeah, those are things that are like, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars. No, they're not. Not anymore, because the technology
right.
has come along. So
right.
so many things like that where, I mean, we're not newbie preppers, but we're kind of like starry-eyed at all these great things out there too. And also like what you just said, I agree with you. Meat preparation is one of the big ones for me in terms of learning how to – I'm a city girl, learning how to harvest meat and put it away and put it up in long-term storage. And, yeah, we'll figure out a way to talk about that. It's hard to demonstrate that on, you know, just in audible words, but we'll see what we can do. But, yeah, I mean, I hope I give people a good idea. If you want to know sort of the whole gamut of topics we want to talk about, our first episode is great. We literally go through and hit the high points of that list of
right.
all the things
yep.
they hope to accomplish, yeah.
So the first, when you're talking about water purification and not knowing, and that's, I mean, I consider myself, I think we save people money too, and we get them from to the 2.0 faster if they listen to podcasts like ours. Because
yes.
the first water filter I purchased was a $300 Katadyn pump water filter, cast. It weighed at least a pound or so, and now Sawyer Water Products is a sponsor of
mm-hmm.
yep. everything that I do, and it's $20. $300 versus $20, and actually the $20 one will probably last longer, and when it breaks I just throw it away and grab another one. So yeah, technology has
mm-hmm.
definitely changed, and if I'd have known better, I could have saved a lot of money. I did end up selling that because it was unused, because I was like, I'm not going to use this until the world comes to an end, because it costs $300. Now my Sawyer,
yeah.
I've got 4 or 5 of them that I'm using at any one time. So technology definitely has changed things for sure. Now, I was listening to another podcast you guys did, which was, I am not sure I've ever heard this topic in any other podcast. And it was talking about people, women taking advantage of men and men taking advantage of women,
because mm-hmm.
when the grid goes down, power is going to corrupt everyone.
Yeah.
Unless you have some kind of a relationship with God. I really think evil itself is going to hit some of the most the nicest people. They will. I mean, that you would, even Aunt Sally and Aunt B from Mayberry, I'm telling you, when the grid goes down, things are going to change, people are going to change, and people will be taken advantage of, and their life will be destroyed if you're not ready for it. And you guys kind of hit that topic in that podcast. And I've never heard anyone even speak of that before in a podcast.
It's funny when you were saying there was this one topic you guys covered, and I did the number 3 with my fingers towards Shelby. I was letting her know it's number 3, and that's because you're talking about episode number 3. I knew what you were talking about because that has been a runaway, crazy, popular episode. And it's a great example of 2.0, taking it to the next level. You got your beans. Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, let's say you're a man and you're well-prepared and you're single. Perhaps there are going to be single women coming to you, and there's a whole host of issues that are involved in that. From number one, being moral and decent, and number two, perhaps that woman is going to take advantage of you, because it happens. And again, I'm not down on women or anything like that, but I mean, it happens. And that was this thing that wasn't really talked about. And on the female side of this, we all know that women will be taken advantage of, and some of the ways that could happen. And of course, Shelby's message in that episode was, hey, ladies, don't let this happen to you. Don't let this happen to your kids, by the
yeah.
way. That's the real thing that's even worse. And how do you not let this happen to yourselves, ladies? Number one, you prepare. And number two, and this is so politically incorrect. I mean, we're off the charts on political incorrectness with this. Shelby said, ladies, be with a man, a good man, and be married, by the way. And you two as a team, a man and woman, are going to make it through this. I mean, that is, you just don't hear that anywhere. I mean, you know, my goodness, you know, men should be with women and women should be with men. And of course, on my side of it, the male side, I made the point that, you know, men don't fall for the, you know, the attractive woman who, you know, you want to be a white knight and all of these other things. And you think this is great. I mean, cause there's downsides to it to consider, and men, you need to treat women decently and with respect, of course. And men, you don't understand how incredibly helpful and powerfully good a woman is when you're in a relationship with her. You know, a husband and a wife are an unstoppable team, absolutely unstoppable with the complementary skills that they have and all of that. And you're right, nobody talked about this. And we just, these are the kind of things, Forrest, that we talk about, like, at breakfast. You know, it's just
still
what we
dark,
talk about.
But yeah, still dark.
At our house. And it became this this really, really great topic. So once again, it's the uniqueness of Prepping 2.0, our podcast, because we talk about unique things. And again, the male and female perspective we bring to every single show really complements, you know, we get all aspects of it out from my male brain and her female brain.
Well, you know, that's I've talked about this, but more from a group standpoint. So I'm big in groups. I make a statement all the time when I speak or teach is if you're not in a group, you're going to die. And
yeah.
And then I've added on that early because you've got to be in a group. You just have to be in a group. And then once you're in a group, you should plan out how you treat every single visitor, every single person that comes in contact. That should be already written down in documents. And so I hope when you guys start doing your 2.0 and you get into the group series, people, that's the weakest link in every prepper's prep. I tell people you can have no skills, but if you're in a great group, you become a general laborer, and that's okay, but you need skills. A group is one of the most important things you can be in. And then every prepper knows that. Every prepper knows that. But I would say less than 10% are actually in a group. And then you take that 10% and then you ask them, hey, do you have rules and bylaws and, you know, assigned duties when the crap hits the fan, so you guys will know how you handle certain situations, or you know what your role is going to be, you know what the chain of command is going to be. And less than, of the 10%, less than 5% of them will actually have that. That's everyone's weakest prep. And so that's kind of the campaign, you know, I've been on. Is, hey, you need to network, you need to sit across the table and meet people, and then you need to form a group. And we're at peacetime right now. If you're not getting this, your preps ready, meaning your rules, your responsibilities, the people you need in your group, if you're not doing that now, I mean, all the food that you put back, all the guns you put back, all the beekeeping skills, all these other skills, you're going to just die alone with your family, and because you're not going to have a group. Group is one of the most important things, so I'm going to let you guys comment. I'm sorry, rant there.
No, we appreciate it, and you just gave us a great preview to our episode that's coming out this week on Wednesday, because we talk about that very thing is when you do need to be in a group and where to start. And it kind of, and how that topic came about, and you'll appreciate this, I think, Forrest. A little over a year ago, Glenn and I were at a prepping conference in Eastern Washington, and the whole how to let people into your fold of preps or into your group who haven't prepped and they know better. And we are telling them now to prep, and they're like, oh, nothing's going to happen. And then when, you know, this stuff hits the fan and they come to your door, that was the number one question. How do you let people in your door who you know now in peacetime aren't prepping and they know better? And we have a long discussion about that. And then how to use that conversation, either say, no, you're not coming because you need to step up and do it yourself. Or two, let's negotiate. And Glenn hates it when I use that word, but let's that be the starting discussion of, okay, if we're going to share preps, here's what you need to do to get started going, and because I'm a little ahead of you, so you need to start doing this and work on your skills, and you can start that networking. But I think you and PrepperNet have that whole idea of how to form groups and create that kind of almost like mini governance that you need and we will need during such chaotic time when there's no rule of law and there's no governing forces and what are the consequences. And that's what I appreciate so much about 299 Days is how this little community developed that very thing. And I'm going to let Glenn talk now because he's really good at this stuff.
By the way, it's episode 7, and it's coming up, as you mentioned, on Wednesday, episode 7. You're so right about community. I can only put an exclamation point by it. And this is one of the reasons, by the way, Forrest, Shelby and I are so excited about
yes.
PrepperNet, because the number one question we would get asked all the time is, how do I put a mutual assistance group together?
How do I just meet other preppers? Because we're kind of a secretive
right.
bunch, and we're like, oh, duh, PrepperNet. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Exactly. By the way, the number one question I'm always asked is Pal real? And yes, he is real. He's really a 6-foot Korean gunfighter.
Oh, yeah.
Insurance, but it's real. He's real. But anyway, but the second biggest question was these mutual assistance groups. And a lot of episode 7 started from a conversation I had several years ago with somebody who was not prepped. This person needed to know that I was prepped because of the friendship we had and the business relationship we had, so I kind of had to tell him. And he would go and be the grasshopper and flutter around and, you know, watch football and have a wine collection and do a lot of fun stuff that I wish I could do, but I was busy doing other stuff. And then we had a conversation one day, and he basically said, yeah, I'm coming to your cabin. I said, no, you're not. He said, well, what do you mean? I said, you're not coming to my cabin. And he said, well, I'm truncating the conversation here, but basically, well, what if I don't leave? And I said, I'm going to use sharp words, and what if my family's with me and I won't leave? I said, I'm going to point a gun at you. What if we don't leave? And I said, I'm going to tell your wife to cover her eyes and or close her eyes and cover her ears because I'm about to kill you. I don't like talking that way.
Right.
But it was a serious, serious conversation because all it takes, and you mentioned this, you can be the most prepped person in the world. You got your beekeeping. You got it all down. All it takes is one group of people or one person that comes in and just expects to be taken care of. And by the way, it won't be one person or one group. It'll be dozens of people and dozens of groups because everybody and their dog who knows that you're a prepper is going to be knocking on the door. I think it's going to be probably the biggest problem we all face, and it's one of the ones that isn't as interesting, I guess, as beekeeping, but I think it's more interesting than that. One of the things I'm toying with, tell me, Forrest, if you think this is a good idea, because you mentioned bylaws and everything, and I'm a lawyer, so it's kind of where my mind goes. I'm thinking about putting up a 1 or 2 page simple little mutual assistance group agreement that people can download. You know, it's not legal advice, blah, blah, blah. And just be,
right.
Hey, we're going to jointly buy some stuff and we're going to pitch in money. And if for some reason you want to leave this group, you know, you get a proportionate share of whatever the stuff's worth. And if we can't agree to how to do this, maybe we go to PrepperNet and they mediate it. I don't know. I just made that up. But,
you know,
that kind of thing. You got to have that structure up front.
You do, and I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to think about that because I've had a group for about almost 17 years.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when I got into it, I was pretty serious. and I've spent our group has spent over $15,000 in getting bylaws and all the rules and working with lawyers and getting everything to protect everyone and just get people want that easy. And the only drawback I have for I've never shared it ever. Some of my best friends have asked me for it and I've never shared it. And the reason is because the pain to go through that with the group and the building as you discuss things, it's almost like a building of a government. You know, like when America was formed and they were, you know, they were arguing and talking and discussing and they come to a resolution of how they're going to do it. And then, you know, they sign the document. That process kind of formed our group. It kind of gave us a bond like never before. As we were working through all the issues, and it was painful, but yet it was it was one of the best things we've ever done. Because everyone knows every single letter of the law because we discussed it so much.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've never shared that. And, you know, I've been offered $5,000 just for the documents, and I still said no just because I'm not sure what to do. I don't know what to do there because I want to help groups. But, man, the process of going through that and learning, and it's almost like playing the conflicted card game where you actually have to have answers and they have to be, and everyone has to agree on them. Because, you know, we tackle, hey, you know, a single mom comes up to your group, what do you do? And you discuss that, and that stuff has to be in place before the actual action happens. And so, but anyway, I don't know, you know, maybe the Lord will change my mind on it. I don't know where I'm going to be on that. But you also mentioned about people saying, hey, I'm going to your house. And I say, fine, go to my house.
I'm not
going to
be
there. Yeah, I'm not going to be there. And you can fight it over with my neighbors because, you know, my neighbors currently, you know, even one guy said he's going to track me and follow my family, and I'm going to go. And I said, that's fine. I would love to do that. I need target practice before really the entire grid breaks. I'm kidding with him. But, you know, if someone comes to my house, there's a few guns that'll be left. There's some, you know, 3 months worth of food. That's all that's here. The rest of my stuff is staged and stashed. And that is being well prepared,
mm-hmm.
ready for something happening. And on a moment's notice, getting out of Dodge and leaving everything behind. That is being well prepared. And that's what we've spent 17 years of getting is well prepared that we can go. We'll lead to 3 months worth of food. Fine. That's going to help our neighbors and, you know, the guns that will possibly be left here. And so, but we spend so much time on buying stuff and getting, food is important,
mm-hmm.
and water's, everything's important. But again, the group and having the plan, which in the first quarter next year, I'm going to be releasing a webinar on putting together a plan. And this is a real plan. This isn't documents of, you know, 4 pages of documents. This is going to be a real plan. And I'm going to walk people through what we have put in place in our group. And I'm going to share that so that when they're finished the webinar, they will have 100% confidence in what they're going to do, where they're going to do it, where they're going to meet, communication, call sign, everything that they need is going to be in this webinar. And I've been recording that for the last month and writing it and recording it just now starting. But groups, I'm glad. And so as we say all this, you two have agreed to be on the PrepperNet expert panel. Which I'm honored, and it's
we're honored.
Thank you.
And we've got some big names. I've been advertising it. It's the best leadership team ever assembled in this industry. With you guys, you know, JJS. I mean, there's some big names on there. Charlie Hogwood and Scott Hunt. So I'm excited. I think this is going to be a beautiful thing. And even you came up with another idea that Samuel and I talked about the other night about, you know, the podcast thing. And we talked just the other night about that.
Good. And that'll be a network. Yeah. We haven't done it yet, but it'd just be a network of our podcasts, and we all put them in one place and everything like that. And it's easier to get the information out. That's what it's all about, is getting the information out.
So as you know, two authors up in Washington, what do you guys think of this PrepperNet thing? I mean, I'm not sure I've ever asked you that. I just asked you to come on board, and you're like, yeah, let's do this. I mean,
well, I think it's terrific. I haven't actually looked in my area because I've got a team and it's growing and everything like that. I probably should, to be honest. But I love the OPSEC stuff in there about how you can, you know, confidentially make inquiries. That was one of the big things. I mentioned to some folks, hey, working with PrepperNet, and I told them what it was. And the first thing that a lot of them said was, what do you mean my address is in some database and anybody can look it up? And I said, no, obviously Forrest thought of that.
Right.
But so it's what's been needed. Again, it's the number one question we get. The number one question. And when everybody asks the same question, you have to think there's some wisdom in them asking that and that there's a need for an answer. And I can't think of a better answer. I mean, I kind of sort of thought about trying to do something like this, but it was way beyond my means. It was just way too hard to do because I realized that it needed to be done. And by the way, I think it would be neat if men and women could meet each other who are preppers. I think that's a wonderful thing. I hope that's one of the options.
Oh, PrepperNetDating.com?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Farmers only kind of thing. But
yeah.
But for preppers, that's another thing. But, I mean, it's a terrific thing. And you have to network. You have to get past this idea that I'm just going to be in my basement and nobody's going to bother me. You'll die alone, just like you said. There have to be groups. There have to be groups.
Yes, and so, you know, and I share a lot about my particular group because my group, you know, we've gone to, you know, if there's a 4.0, I would say that we're at the 4.0 because we're doing we've made sure that we have equipment and materials for homeschooling to continue.
Yep.
We have entertainment library where a server actually where we'll have devices. I'm not going to give too much away, but that you'll be able to watch movies. So everyone kind of was responsible to get movies they wanted. And, of course, I wanted 24. So I have all the 24 series on a media server. We also have Friends because of my wife loves that show. We have all the seasons, so you can literally from your device sit there and watch a show because you got to have entertainment. You got to have things to take you back and remember and laugh. And we've gone through, you know, every aspect. Again, we've had years to prepare, and we're preparing. And so we're not going to go and survive, and I know this is kind of overused terms, we're going to go and thrive. We're going to have ways to communicate. Our kids will have, you know, educational apps. They'll have shows that they can watch. There'll be teaching of, you know, education will be going on. There'll be entertainment. And so that has taken it to the next level that a lot of people can't even get past the bullets and beans and Band-Aids. And we've got to get past that.
You mentioned survive and then thrive. And I would add a third thing to this, which is, I think, the big prize. That's the restoration.
Mm-hmm.
Folks
yes.
like us who have beliefs like us and are decent, good people and want society to be good and decent, we need to survive because this collapse, whatever it is going to be over at some point. And then we need to be around to restore, whether it's your county or your state or your country, because I don't think the United States is going to exist as it does now with 330 million people. So we're going to rebuild communities because, number one, we're alive. And number two, we're so squared away. For example, you mentioned the educational materials. Kids in your area after the collapse are going to come and get educated, and those parents are going to be incredibly grateful to you. And as I talk about in the 299-day series, it's the message, the Patriot Way works. This works.
Yes.
Treating people decently and being prepared and all of this works, and it's hearts and minds. It's political. It's tactical. It's diplomatic. It's warfare. It's all those things. And so we're going to be the ones in, first of all, alive. Second of all, in a leadership position, earned leadership position. People are going to be grateful. It's not like we appoint ourselves. And we're going to be the ones that rebuild this country or state or county or whatever it ends up being. And that is the real prize. And JJS talks a lot about this, and he's really got it right
yes.
about it. It's the restoration, and Matt Shea, by the way, also. It's the restoration that really matters. And if you can survive, if you can be comfortable during it, and you can rebuild into a much better place, well, then that's the goal right there.
Yes. That's why one of the major reasons we partnered with Amron and JJS, because he does have the communication thing down.
And so imagine now that we're going to kind of partner together where all the PrepperNet members will learn his communication tools and how to do that. And then, because there's going to need to be some communication means throughout the United States, and he's got it. He's got the plan. And so that's why it just made sense for us to partner with him. And man, I love that guy. He came to North Carolina right the week of Thanksgiving, and we went to a coffee shop and sat down early and didn't leave till late and just sit there and talked and planned and just he's just a great guy, and I know you know him very well. He announced to the world y'all were getting married, so I guess you are pretty good friends.
That's right.
He's a good friend. He's a very good friend and a great leader, truly a good leader. Great one. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And so as we go forward with PrepperNet, you know, one of the things that we're going to do is, you know, with our expert, you know, panel members, we're going to, my podcast, again, is mediocre. What you guys are doing and what you got, I love the topics. And so, you know, all the PrepperNet members are going to be encouraged to listen, to definitely read the books. And, you know, it just makes sense for us to partner together and kind of build community within within the United States, preppers coming together. Matter of fact, I forgot who coined the term for me, but they said, you know, Forrest, it's like where preppers unite. And I'm like, yeah. That is it. And so, and you mentioned about the information. I do, sharing the information. I really haven't shared this much on my podcast about kind of what I'm doing yet. I was going to devote a whole, January kind of get into that. But my group, we have a young lady that goes to the University of Alabama. And that was a problem because I don't know anyone in Alabama that is a prepper. Especially near the University of Alabama. And as this PrepperNet idea was coming about, I'm like, man, how do I find people? And I looked up on Meetup, and there was a dead prepper group there that you know, hadn't met for over a couple years. And so what PrepperNet's going to allow us to do, though, is as people sign up, they're going to give their zip code, and we're going to build a map, and don't let this scare you, of preppers. But it's going to be just for a zip code. I don't ask for your address. And so let's say that your zip code is 12345. If there's 10 people in that zip code, it's only going to be kind of one icon. You can click on that icon and request to be connected with people in that zip code. And then they have the option of saying yes or no. If they say yes, then your emails are shared. If they say no, nothing's done. And so how we do that security-wise is you put your zip code into our database on the website. We have a process that works on the server that then grabs just the zip codes, separates it from your user, your email address and your name, and puts it in another database. So it's a completely separate database. Then we take that database and map it. So your information is never could be shared, and it's and it works. And so, your information is always protected, and only when you give it, the software permission, will your email address ever be released to someone else. And so, I think this is going to be really cool because everyone has loved ones that. Okay, another statement I make, and this will get to this point, and then I make a statement, if a grid goes down, a real grid goes down, if you have loved ones more than 200 miles away, you will never, ever talk to them again.
Yep.
Sad. Because you don't know how to communicate with them. And even if they travel and they make it 200 miles to your house, without a plan, you're not going to be there. They're going to run you out of your house, and then how are they going to find you? So that's why plans are key, that you got to have a communication plan and a bug out plan, all that. And that's what I'm going to go through in my webinar. But to know now that our young lady in our group at Alabama
university, we have someone now that will take care of her and has communications so we can communicate with them back and forth if the grid goes down. That means the two, the mom and dad and the brother and the two sisters, her family, when they're at our retreat, now I get their full 100% attention to help our group as opposed to sitting there worried and painfully just crying and upset because their daughter is, you know, 600 miles away.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
So that's kind of the key there. So anything else you guys want to add at all or discuss? Kind of getting to the end here. Don't want to wear you guys out on my first.
I'm exhausted talking about how busy we are. How you feel. Seriously. Oh, my gosh. It's been great, though. It's been great.
Well, guys, I appreciate you guys being on my expert panel. Tell us how to get your books, your podcasts. I know you've been slowly releasing that on different platforms, and you know, tell my listeners how to subscribe and find it and all that.
Well, probably the easiest way with a podcast is iTunes. We're on iTunes now. That's a very convenient way for a lot of folks. There's the website, prepping2-0.com. We have a Facebook page, Prepping
2.0 Podcast.
Yeah, 2.0 Podcast. Our Facebook page is mine's 299 Days, the book. And we put all the episodes up and all kinds of fun news. And Shelby's is Shelby Gallagher, author. We have an email list that we love. We send updates really easily. We don't send a ton of emails, and we don't send you dumb stuff that you don't want. You can sign up for those on our websites, which is 299days.com and agreatstate.com. We're on Podbean, soon to be on some other things. All the episodes are always going to be on the website, prepping2-0, so that's a great way to keep up with that. So that's the way, and that's the podcast and a little bit of the books. The books, I mean, you can just go into Amazon and type in A Great State or 299 Days, and the books, Kindle, hard copy, Amazon, or Audible, they all come up, so that's a pretty easy way to do that. And our dog, Maddie Tate Gallagher, has a Facebook page, and she's
your
adorable.
Dog.
So if you want to, like, see our dog eating our socks and stuff, Maddie Tate Gallagher has her own Facebook page. We just do that for fun.
Okay. That is funny. I'm not going to tell you my saying about animals, so I can't do that at this point. That would be bad. Because a lot of people ask me, well, can I bring my dog to the retreat? And
oh,
please
no.
Forgive me. Please forgive
no.
me. I always say yes in a Ziploc bag.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, do I get some mean looks at that point? But yes.
Yes.
And so 299days.com is where they can – and is that your – and where's your podcast site? That's the prepping. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's prepping2-0.com. And I would say, because Glenn just zipped off a whole lot of stuff there, that's our websites are the greatest place to start. If you start at the websites, you can launch from there to all the other places you want to go, whether it be social media or Podbean or Amazon to order a book. The three websites are the ones that great place to start.
Yeah, and I got your email the other day, and it said that you're finally on iTunes, and so they can search that at prepping2-0, correct?
Well, on iTunes, it's just prepping 2.0. The problem
okay,
is when we're making the website, we couldn't put that point. We
oh,
could
yeah,
put
that's
that
right.
decimal in there, so we had to do a dash,
yep.
yeah.
Yep, and you got your six episodes there, and they so far they've been really awesome. So, again, that is awesome. I wish you guys the best of luck. I've been doing this podcast thing, and I get no better. So I hope. I mean, you guys have already started out above me. I mean, like better. And you know what? I'll be honest and take this the right way, Shelby. Your voice is pretty awesome on the podcast. I mean, it does. It sounds, and I don't know if that's your producer or Gator or whatever his name. I mean, y'all sound really good. And I'm like, gosh, I don't know. I guess I never think I sound very good at all because I don't.
See, I hate that. I'm with you. I hate the sound of my voice. On that note, we have an amazing producer who comes with decades of experience in the world of radio, and he's very attuned to making things sound really good. So to Gator, I give all the credit because I hate the sound of my voice.
Yeah, y'all sound really good. The music, everything. I'm like, gosh, how can they do that? It's only their 6 podcasts, and I'm into like 100, and it's not even, still trial and error. So, but you guys are doing awesome, and I appreciate you guys being on my expert panel. And guys, thanks for being on, and I'm sure that you'll be on again for sure. So,
well, we're gonna have you on our show too. We've already talked about a couple topics that would be really, really good for you to talk about. So I don't know
awesome.
If those topics are public yet, but you're gonna be on our show, so that's gonna be
that
neat.
Would be my pleasure for sure.
Wonderful.
Well, thanks for coming on, and thanks for putting up with me, and we will talk to you guys later. I appreciate it.
Thank you
and have a great night.
Thanks. Okay, guys. That was Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher, and their book, The Great State. I've purchased the 2 books. They're in my The Great State, The Divide, and The Aftermath. And at Christmas, I'm going to go through, because I really have started hating to read a series. And that's why The Ava of Mark Goodwin, I kind of waited, and then boom, blew through it. I don't know. I'm not a very patient person when I read, but I read a ton of books or listen to them. But they're in my queue that 299 days. It's funny. If you look through my Audibles, the 299 days, every single book is like in order there. Because of, I've listened to every single one of them. I've listened to that series twice. That series is really the first series that kind of introduced me to, I was already a prepper, but it just opened my eyes. I'm like, it was back in the early days where, I tell you guys, my best friend for years was AK-47NC-18. That was his name. Never met him. It was on a form. And that's one of the reasons. I mean, how do you get to know someone? But, man, we sent messages back and forth through this form for years because I was a closet. I'll say a closet prepper. I said it. And it wasn't until I did our first meetup that I actually started meeting other people. And I go, wow, there are other people out here like me. That think the way not really, but in a sense of the prepping, and I need to take care of my family, and the Lord, the Lord has called me to create this prepper net, to create an environment where you can meet people in a safe environment, get to know them over time, and then go camping with them, go shooting with them, just become friends, because being in a group is probably, I would say, top 5 decisions most important decisions you'll ever make in your life. I would say, who you're going to serve, meaning your religion. You guys know about mine. 2 is probably your wife. 3 could be in your group, because you've got to trust these people with your life. You got to trust them with your daughter, your son, your family members, that when you're out on patrol or you're doing something for the group, you got to trust these people with your life. And so it is an important decision. It is something that's why PrepperNet, we meet across the nation now. We just brought on this week, Nashville, Tennessee, which I'm so excited about. Nashville, Tennessee was a dead group of about 800 members. Several of the members contacted me and said, hey, can you help us? And I looked at the group and I said, yes. And so we went on Meetup. It's now a PrepperNet group. I've already got 3 leaders. I'm looking for a couple more. They're going to start the group meeting again. And, I have so many friends in the Nashville area that's in the Christian music scene there. And I'm excited. I was very excited about that group. And so if you don't have a group, contact me. That's what we're about. We have an entire training program for a group, for people to lead groups. We have presentations, we have marketing plans, we got monthly conference calls, we've got a forum where you can connect with other leaders. You don't need to be a Glenn Tate or a Shelby or four. You just need to be someone that can facilitate the group. You don't need to be the expert. Anyone can do this. So if you need a group in your area, contact me. That is what we do. We help you. If you have a group, now this isn't, let me clarify, this is a public group. This is not your personal survival group or MAG group. This is just a public group so you can meet people. So if you have a group in your area and it needs some help, needs a Kickstarter, it needs you having problems with your maybe the people running it, or it's kind of stagnant, this is what we do. Give us, send us an email. That's at Forrest with two R's at PrepperNet.com, or go to the website. That's what we do. I have three people that are helping me kind of train and mentor leaders throughout the United States. Matter of fact, one of my friends is now working with the Nashville group that just this week they said, three people said, yeah, we'll help. And they listed out their skills and we're like, we don't even need your skills yet. We just need you to find a place and let's start meeting there. And so they're on it. But if you need help in any way, I know we're getting ready to start one in Houston, Texas. And I know this guy is good friends with Glenn and Shelby, Sam Copler. We're starting one in Houston, Texas, where Sam is going to be a part of that group and actually help manage that group. So anyway, that's PrepperNet.com, PrepperNet.com. Go check us out, and we are here to help you. Special again, thanks to Glenn and Shelby. And guys, we will, with Christmas coming, not sure we're going to have a podcast till maybe after the first year, but I hope you guys enjoyed this. And check us out, PrepperNet.com. And thank you for joining the Prepping Academy. You can check us out at PreppingAcademy.com as well. You guys have a great day, and we will talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to the Prepping Academy podcast. Preppers unite at www.preppingacademy.com.